Bienvenue au terrain des jeux. Nous sommes ici à jouer au basketball. Il va vous conduire à la victoire. Car on a un second effort. Et l'esprit du bel an qui vit en tous les mondes. Et l'esprit qui ne meurt jamais. Parce que basketball, oui, basketball a arrivé.
Jouer.
Welcome to BizCast Ball, the Biscuitball BizCast. My name is Corbin Smith. It's a pleasure to speak to you today. Off season, not a lot going on. Not really a lot to talk about. You know, there's a person who will tell you, oh no, this is when all the stuff to talk about is happening. But don't listen to them. Guys, pursue a separate interest over the summer. It's not that hard. It's fine. Look, if you're a professional basketball writer, I get it. You're on the churn. You know, there's a lot of ground up ass salmon meat out there that you need to. There's a lot of salmon. You got to turn these salmon bones into salmon fillets. But if you're not, come on, man, quit obsessing, man. There's so much more stuff you could be doing right now. You know what? Watch Steven. You know, we talk about Steven Universe. Watch Steven Universe. It's great. Anyway. I talked to Bob Silverman. Bob is a writer, a maker of content. He's on MSNBC relatively frequently. We talked about a bunch of stuff. A little bit of basketball, a little bit of that, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I encourage you to listen to the episode and enjoy. I'm here with Bob Silverman. Bob is a man of many hats. Construction worker, Indian chief, police officer, all of the village people. Bob is. How are you doing, Bob?
I am. I've got to go to the hat shop to buy more hats.
Who's the other guy? Oh yeah, the biker.
The biker is definitely, since because people only remember the construction worker and the biker. No one remembers the really offensive Native American running around.
Yeah, that guy's not good.
In a loincloth and a tomahawk.
Yeah, that is a bad look for the village people.
Indeed,
the biker is way too like everyone else is coded.
Yeah, no, the biker, just because of the giant walrus-type Fu Manchu mustache. It just, and he's wearing assless chaps, if memory serves.
Yeah, like, I couldn't remember the biker when I was reciting them just now, because the biker just reads as a friendly local homosexual to me. like I can't...
Friendly local leather daddy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I can't read the text at all. All I can see is the subtext.
Hey, the village people made good songs. Say what you will about their propagating of homosexual stereotypes. They made some damn fine songs.
I could. What's the third village people song?
Well, there's YMCA.
That's the first. And,
In the Navy.
In the Navy. That's the second.
And then
In the Navy is a really good song. In the Navy is kind of like Hot for Teacher, in my opinion. Like, it's a good song, but like, it's just so silly.
Why? It's about being in the Navy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But even then, like.
And then, you know, Macho Man.
Macho Man. I forgot about Macho Man.
That's a great song. I think I actually first heard Macho Man on Sesame Street I think it was Macho Pig or something, and it was a bunch of the pigs dressed as village people. Not on Sesame Street, on the Muppet Show.
Village, do you have a village people think piece in you? You think, Bob?
No, but it's not the worst idea. It might be worse. It might be worth catching up with them.
Oh yeah, I'll bet you they're fun dudes now.
What are they up to? I wonder what they're up to. I mean, are they still performing?
Yeah, are they on the county fair circuit?
Yeah, or whatchamacallit, what's that place in Missouri where Yakko Smirnoff is
Branson.
Branson.
Branson,
are they
Missouri.
In Branson?
That seems unlikely.
Hmm.
I forgot about the police officer.
Yeah, you forgot about the police officer. There's the police officer, the cowboy, the biker, the Native American, the construction worker.
I'm looking at the Village People Wikipedia page.
Are you? Are you trying to see what are they up to now on the Wikipedia?
Well, here's it's actually a really weird Wikipedia page because most of it is in paragraphs. You know, 1977, creation of Jacques Mouly, a French musical composer. Then there's some paragraphs about it, like They performed on the American Bandstand. It refers to the Greenwich Village, which at the time obviously was a homosexual community of note. Mm-hmm. I feel weird saying homosexual, a gay community of note. Mm-hmm. And then there's some more paragraphs. 1980 to 1985, group took a hiatus, and then starting from 1990s to present, there's a list of events on a timeline. For some reason, it's not constructed in paragraphs.
Like bullet-pointed or something?
Yes, it is a bullet-pointed thing, where it's like 2004, Village People perform as the opening act for Cher, May 7, 2004. Original cowboy Randy Jones marries Will Grega, his boyfriend of 20 years. Congratulations to the original cowboy.
Well, maybe that suggests that someone was making up a Village People Wikipedia page, whomever's job that is, and then just got tired of it. How did we get to the point of talking about the Village People's Wikipedia page, by the way?
July 15th, 2008, at the Major League Baseball All-Star Game at the first Yankee Stadium, Village People perform at YMCA with the Yankees ground crew.
That was a thing. The Yankees ground crew would perform YMCA during... It was a thing.
They make people do that at the Hillsboro Hops. They make the event staff at the Hillsboro Hops games do that. Hillsboro is a suburb of Portland. I attend their games occasionally. They have a very nice logo. It's an anthropomorphic hop plant, like in beer.
Oh, hops.
Yes, hops.
Ah, okay. See, I was getting into this with Roth the other day. Noted food and or anthropomorphic minor league logo mascot person, David Roth.
Yes, also David Roth. Sports. The infamous David Roth.
The infamous David J, and the J stands for
Van.
Joe, boy, is he wrong about this hat with a taco on it.
The J actually stands for Lee. Most people don't know that.
Surprising. But no, I was saying, I'm sorry, I'm not, I don't want a green and white hat with a picture of a taco on it. That's a terrible baseball hat.
Why?
It's not even an anthropomorphic taco, like a dancing taco or a taco holding a bat. It's just a freaking taco. And of course, this led to the revelation that I do not actually like tacos.
Yeah, because I know why you don't like tacos.
Why?
Because you spent your entire life on the East Coast. Of course you don't like tacos.
I live in one of the food capitals of the world.
You live in one of the food capitals of the world, but not one of the taco capitals of the world.
So you're saying you're agreeing with me. You're saying tacos aren't food.
No, they're good. Look, they're food. They're great food. It's just that, you know.
No, it's
you guys,
not that.
You guys do one kind of carbs, right? But out here we live on a higher plane of existence regarding tacos.
Are you referring to the bagel? Is this where we're going? To the bagel?
Yeah, look, the bagel is a tremendous... Look, the bagels there, they're great. All the bread, all the yeasty bread is great. But
because why would you want non-yeasty bread? Matzahs taste like stale cardboard. They're bad.
I'm sorry. Did you just call a tortilla a matzah?
It's just slightly more pliable matzah.
Jesus Christ almighty. You're too, like, have you ever, like, have you ever left Manhattan at this point? Like, like you just called a tortilla a matzah, Bob.
New Yorker cover. Come to three-dimensional life.
Exactly.
City, and then, oh, there's some stuff outside. For one, I am in the borough of Brooklyn right now. So technically, yes, I have left Manhattan.
Sorry. I forgot Manhattan expanded.
Yes. Brooklyn, it's really AAA Manhattan or, you know, Major League Manhattan, and Manhattan's been relegated, depending on how you look at it. But before we get into the vagaries of the New York real estate market, no. I have lived in continents all over the world.
Where else have you lived? In France, obviously. Everybody who listens to the program knows about France.
I spent two separate 3-month stints living in Southeast Asia.
What kind of matzah do they have in Southeast Asia?
It's not matzah. It's a bread. It's not a bread culture at all.
Oh, we don't think mochi is a type of pasta. Is a type of matzah.
What's mochi?
You don't know what mochi is?
No.
Once again, East Coast. It's like rice flour with water. It's gluey. It's really good with ice cream.
Okay. Yeah. It's in any case, I lived
Do you know what bubble tea is?
I know what bubble tea is. Of course I know what bubble tea is.
Okay, all right.
I've had lemongrass drink. I've had grass jelly drink, which you could buy in the vending machines. And it said, ingredients, water, jelly grass. That's it. It's good. It's weird looking, but it's good.
Is it a type of matzah, though?
No, it's not a type of matzah. It's delicious. The one thing about iced coffee is, unless you're going to get the coffee in Thailand, unless you're getting the major, like a big thing of iced coffee, it's really hard to get just like a hot coffee or a regular coffee. I got it mainly in cans. I would plow through 4 or 5 canned iced coffees from vending machines a day when I was living there. I stacked them in my room. I made a whole wall of them by the time I was done.
Yeah, I suppose that, there's...
When I was in Thailand, actually, is when I wrestled a bear.
Oh, why'd you wrestle a bear?
Because he looked at me wrong.
Oh, wow.
No, we were... As part of our wacky theater troupe's quest for a permanent home, we met with this woman named Marianne Williams, which is spelled Williamse, who's an Austrian woman, an Austrian expat, who used to do laser light shows for bands like Kiss and Queen in the 70s, getting us back to our, probably the Village People too, and gave up all that to start a wildlife.
There should be a member of the Village People who dresses like a member of Kiss. Continue.
Yeah, agreed. Anyway, she started a wildlife preserve in the north of Thailand. It's beautiful space, and it was sort of a bit of a tourist hub, and people would come there to look in and play with all the lovely animals that had been saved from poachers. And we were having a conversation with her because she had this smallish kind of stage and empty living quarters. So we thought, okay, here's a built-in audience for our theater company and a stage, and we can stay here and live on this wonderful wildlife preserve. And play with the spider monkeys, and there was another kind of monkey too. Really long arms, swing from tree to tree to tree, jump on your head, steal your wallet, adorable little monkeys. There are lots of photos of me with monkeys on my head.
Are you sure that the monkeys weren't trained to steal your wallet?
It's very possible. But in any case, she also had a wild, tamed Asian black bear named Teddy. Teddy was about 1,000 pounds, really big and fat and roly-poly.
Did he set a good screen?
Oh, you could not. It would be like Kendrick Perkins could not dislodge Teddy if Teddy decided to set a screen.
Okay,
that's how massive Teddy was.
Really, but his jump shot was terrible. Like
slightly better than Kendrick Perkins, but still pretty bad. In any case, Teddy was had grown up in captivity, so totally tame and domesticated. But Teddy liked to wrestle, so she would let people wrestle Teddy, and because she offered it to us, she said. She said, do you want to wrestle this bear? And I was young. And so I said, yeah.
You were 6'10 at the time.
I was. I said, yeah, because I didn't want to be the guy who said no when asked if I wanted to wrestle a bear.
I'm with it.
So I got in there. And the thing about wrestling, basically you would jump on Teddy and he would sort of schlump around. And let you sort of jump on his back and try to move him. And you couldn't move him because he's a 1,000-pound Asian black bear. And weird thing about bears, number one, their fur, it's really bristly and sharp like a stiff hairbrush.
Wouldn't have assumed. Would have assumed they were soft.
As in the bearskin rug, which you would see people luxuriating on in various Playboy
shoots. Once again, I live on the West Coast. I don't have a concept of animal skins as...
But you can understand that this is a thing that happens, and you will see people luxuriating on them.
I suppose. When I went to New York, one of the main takeaways I had was that there are one too many people walking around in fur coats without red paint on them.
You really should have thrown some stuff.
Yeah.
Not like you could afford blood.
No. Okay. And whatever. I'm not like a creep. I'm not gonna.
In any case, blood. So Teddy, the fur of a bear, or at least this particular bear, or strain of bear, genus of bear, is not at all soft. It's really, again, like throwing yourself on a bristly hairbrush. So you can't move him. So you do that for a while, and you're basically riding around on the back of a large, slumping bear. And then at a certain point, Teddy decides it's his turn, and he turns, and he's... stunned at how fast this massive creature, which is really fat. This wasn't a fighting in the wild bear. This was a fat I've been fed every day bear. Just whipped and turned and suddenly was on its hind legs. and then pounces on you after you've been thrown to the ground. And again, domesticated, so he knew what would and would not hurt me. So he pounced on me and could have crushed me and killed me.
Absolutely.
But he did take a huge bite out of my jacket and start shaking it, to sort of shake me around on the ground, as in playing with me, his prey, who he had defeated and could have shredded to bits.
My favorite thing about this particular story is the head start he gave you.
Yeah, he did. He lets you win for a little bit.
Yeah.
And he does that for a while, and you're laughing and also terrified, because you don't, no matter how many times Miss Williams says he's totally tame, he's totally tame, what if he's having a bad day today and wants to take it out on you?
Yeah, or what if it breaks? Like, what if when this is, what if this is when, like, his deepest nature comes out?
Yeah, what if this is an episode of, what if this is actually the Blackfish documentary and he's been saving it up for me? In any case, no, didn't. I still have the jacket, though, and it has the holes in it still, so that if anyone ever says, hey, why do you have holes in your jacket, I can say, fighting a bear, which seems pretty cool. And the other cool thing is, when he puts his paws up and sort of starts batting at you, you realize that the bottom of a bear's paws really do look like the bear claw pastry. That's an accurate depiction.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
In any case, while living briefly for two separate stints, we went there a third time also, so three stints, there were no tortillas there. It was not a bread culture, but that's another part of the world I lived in. But in any case, tortillas are terrible. It's even if it's supposedly
a good... I can't even believe this right now.
I'm just like, eh.
Tortillas are terrible. Bob Silverman. I hope that this haunts you for the rest of your career. I hope that you are sitting in the offices of the New Yorker and they're about to, I don't know, hire you to write, I don't know what they write about at the New Yorker. And then they say, oh, wait, I'm sorry, our researchers found something.
there's some very serious. I will cape for my anti-taco stance, and I'll stand by it. If Donald Trump has taught us nothing, is that even
he hasn't.
Wrong opinions, as long as you express them loudly and refuse to budge at all, that's good.
I feel like we're at the point with Trump where it's clear that he never wanted to be president, and he still doesn't want to be president, and he's, like, trying to get out of it.
I don't think he is, man. I think he wants to be fucking president.
No. No.
Dude. Oh, I disagree. That is one tortilla of an opinion that you've got there, Corbin. I think he really does. There's an article in the Daily Beast, in the name of disclosure, one of my employers, a really good one about Trump's relationship with Roy Cohn going back to the 80s.
Roy Cohn, the lawyer who had AIDS and died?
Yes, Roy Cohn, the horrible lawyer on the McCarthy committees, the red-busting, manipulative, corrupt, evil lawyer, one of the protagonists in the play Angels in America.
Is he a protagonist?
Well, he's not really the villain. He's a protagonist.
I've never read Angels in America, as it happens.
You can watch. There's a nice HBO miniseries if you don't want to take the time to read the play.
Noted. When next time I have HBO Go, I'll give it a spin.
You can borrow mine.
I can borrow your HBO Go?
Yeah.
We shouldn't talk about this over the internet. What if HBO's listening? They'll shut you down.
Probably. But yeah. All right, never mind. Scott, I mean, I'm sorry. You cannot borrow my HBO Go.
Yeah.
That would be ridiculous. I would never do that. The terms of agreement with the HBO Go contract is a sacred trust that I would never betray.
How seriously would you say you take terms of agreements?
I try to read them because I fear that there's some horrible clause that I'm not getting, but they have such a small font. They make it hard to read. So not very seriously.
Okay.
What sports ball are you watching when there's no basketball, Corbin?
I don't know, man. Steven Universe, I guess.
What's Steven Universe?
Oh, man. You don't know about Steven Universe?
Is this a Monster Ball thing? Your BattleBots thing?
Oh yeah, I am watching BattleBots, but no, it's a cartoon show me and all my friends like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all. It's like about this kid named Steven.
Uh-huh.
And he lives with three supernatural creatures from space named the Crystal Gems.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts out there protecting the world from corrupted crystal gems, but then there's some plot machinations. There's some sort of things about sexuality and our relationships to other people and how to deal with other people that sort of slowly emerge through every episode. It's extraordinarily compelling. You ever see Adventure Time, Bob?
No.
Well, it's kind of like Adventure Time, but without the early funny Adventure Times. It's just the later Adventure Times that are like about the weird, uncomfortable internal shifts in our feelings that are constantly happening. It's for kids. I watch a lot of kids' television, Bob.
It sounds a little dark for kids.
Yeah. There are definitely times where it feels like there's not enough subtext to its examinations of people's feelings.
Hmm.
They dropped these in 5-episode bricks, and the last one was pretty much like laser focused on the concept of consent. And it's like coded, but anybody who knows anything about, but like, it's like, it's definitely like this feeling that the show is trying to model how sexual consent works for children without explicitly mentioning sex, so that it gets like implanted in their brain someday. It's actually, it was a pretty fascinating arc.
Sounds, again, this is going to make me look like an old, but that sounds like really dark stuff for kids TV.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you'd seen Adventure Time, which I think a lot of people watch, I think the paradigm on that stuff has sort of shifted a little bit. Like, Adventure Time is really, like, almost exclusively about, like, the internal stresses and the complications of relationships in the last, like, 3 years or so. And it's got jokes, too. Steven Universe has fewer jokes.
What channel is this on?
Cartoon Network.
Okay. Adult Swim Cartoon Network?
No, regular Cartoon Network. Yeah, it's not on Adult Swim. I just caught up with the Venture Brothers, but anyway.
Right. Now that is a quality program.
Yeah, it's an excellent show.
It's an outstanding... There are Jacob Riis jokes. That's my kind of televised entertainment. You didn't watch any Summer League basketball?
No, not really. I was just out of town when it was happening. I kind of wanted to go, but I didn't... I mean, I didn't want to go for free. You know, I didn't want to go and not get paid to go.
Yes.
Because, Las Vegas.
But, yeah, I went a couple of times. Once. Sorry. Did I go a couple of times? Now I can't even remember. Oh, brain, why aren't you? No, I went once. I went once, and I wasn't sure if I could get any articles out of it, and they were exclusively ones that I wrote for free for Knickerblogger. So it cost me a lot of money.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. This was 2 years ago, and I was still, most of the stuff I was writing was for free at that time. So yeah, I was trying to sell some paid ideas and nobody bought them. And so I wrote a bunch of Knickerblogger articles about the Knicks' exciting summer 2013 prospects.
Jordan White had a really fun thing from Summer League today.
What did Jordan
see that?
Yes, I did. Also on vice.com.
Yes. Well, vicesports.com.
Yes.
Come on. Let's get our vertical straight. If any website could start a sports vertical that doesn't currently have one, which would you be most excited about as a content provider?
Speaking as a content provider, I can say that now, can't I? That's a thing I could say and just... That doesn't have one already?
That does not already have a sports vertical.
I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think if I read websites that don't have sports verticals.
You don't read a single website without sports verticals.
Well, I go from the sports vertical to other things, and then I read other things that have nothing to do with it. I don't know, man. I'm at a loss. What do you got?
I don't know. Pitchfork. I feel like if Pitchfork started a sports vertical, I would be up in that.
That's a music-based internet web.
So, yes. Yeah, yeah. But they just shut down their movie vertical, so I don't think that's happening.
Mm.
They're very good movie vertical. That was sad. Wait. Oh, I go to movies sometimes. Oh, no, I saw Inside Out. I just watch cartoons. Did you see Inside Out, Bob? Do you go to movies?
No.
Okay.
Sometimes. I have not seen it. I'm not a huge Pixar guy. I did like WALL-E. Something about the style of their animation just rubs me the wrong way.
I went to Inside Out at like midnight, or like 11 o'clock, and it was a theater full of families, and I cried. Mm-hmm. I'm a grown man. I had a bicycle helmet and shorts on, and and I cried in a theater full of children. And then I cried again in a theater full of children, and then I.
But the trailers all make it look like wacky, happy,
sad version of Herman's Head. Oh, Bob. It is.
It's not like Herman's Head. It's not a gritty modern reboot of Herman's Head.
No, it is not a gritty modern reboot of Herman's Head. It's a gritty reboot of the inside of your own feelings.
Why would you want to subject that to children? Or adults?
That's another... But it doesn't seem like kids were crying at it. You're a little older than me. Like,
A little.
Yeah, a little. Yeah, a little. You're older than me. So, like, Toy Story 3, I cried a lot. Because that was, like, right in my age wheelhouse of, like, the concept of, childhood's over. And I cried so much when I saw Toy Story 3. But if you saw it, it probably wouldn't affect you at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because by the time I was taking in Toy Story 3, you were, you were at Clown College or whatever.
Clown graduate school. Clown graduate school.
Sorry. Clown. Clown medical school.
Yes. Hollywood upstairs clown college. Yes, that's it exactly.
So yeah, I baseball's on and somewhere. The Mariners are bad.
Are you a Mariners fan?
No, not really. But it's the team that's on my TV.
That's a good enough reason to watch them.
Yeah.
See, I like the Mets. I was a very diehard Mets fan when I was a kid. I watched a lot of Mets baseball. And then after college, there was a period where I wasn't even really paying attention to the Knicks because I was doing things at night that were more important than sitting around watching basketball.
I can't imagine what that would be.
I don't know. I don't know what it was. Mainly work stuff, like jobs. There was a period right after school where I had the strangest job ever. It was I was working for an illegal after hours bar,
mm-hmm.
which meant that my workday would start at around 3:30 in the morning.
You really want the IRS to hear about this?
It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. It was an illegal after hours bar. I won't give the name and I'll change the names in my head to protect the people who are involved, but I was after out of school. I had no job, no prospects, no nothing, like everybody. And I was basically spending a whole lot of my time hanging around at one bar up near Columbia with some friends of mine who were still at Columbia, and I was playing pool a lot.
Did you go to Columbia, Bob?
No.
Okay.
No. But I had friends who were, and I was living with them. And my rent was $290 a month. Boom.
Well, I mean, inflation adjusted.
Yeah.
It's probably more like $500 or so today.
I'll do the calculations. It's still not a lot. In any case, and the guy who I would play pool with, this guy named Koopa, he said he knew friends of his who were running an after-hours place, and they said they could use a guy. And it would show up. And it changed a couple of times, and I was working for these two guys who were very, very low-level, I think, Russian mobsters, or at least they looked and acted like Russian mobsters.
It'd be pretty funny if they were posers.
They were what?
Just posers, like...
They could have been posers, but they did have enough juice to run an after-hours bar.
If you just walk around New York
in a tracksuit?
They were more not tracksuit type guys. Oh, okay. They were sort of like knockoff Armani shirts.
Oh.
Those kinds of Russian mobsters.
If you just walk around in that long enough, are you just eventually in organized crime?
I don't know. I never had the right wardrobe for it.
No, I'm sorry to hear that. Anyway, continue. So,
anyway, the job basically, you know, consisted of you get there and they would have a couple of cases of Bud or whatever beer that they could find, and a jug of gin, a jug of scotch, and a jug of vodka.
Did they have Smokey and the Bandit running Coors?
No, they did not. Because there really wasn't a drinking kind of bar. It was more a, here you can buy, you know, small amounts of cocaine from the bartender type bar.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you want to drink it too.
And you were the bartender.
Yeah, okay, here's $20 for a Budweiser.
Budweiser.
A can of Bud was $20. Or a small plastic cup of vodka was also $20. It was a flat rate. And then there was the cocaine, and there was a little cup with pre-cut straw.
Wait a minute. Is a cup of Bud a euphemism for cocaine? I was reading it that way.
No.
Okay.
No, they would actually sell you a Budweiser for $20.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Well, it's an illegal enterprise, so...
Yeah, but... You can't... I mean, like, people are so bad with money that they can't just buy a few beers and drink them when they get home?
The point is to go to this bar where you can buy drugs.
So you bought drugs, but did you also have to buy marked up alcohol to get the drugs?
Me personally, no. The customers, no, they didn't have to. But if you're doing enough cocaine, sometimes you want, you know, a vodka to take the edge off.
Okay, I'm not like a stimulants man, so
yeah.
I'll admit, I don't have a concept of this. Continue.
Right, that's the basic principle. In any case, and the lights, the trademark is wherever the place was, and it was usually just like some basement in a couple of places. At one point, it was another bar that someone let us use, which was always a little more scary because, you know, a cop walks by and sees a bar with the lights on at 5 in the morning. He might think something.
When is closing time in New York?
4 a.m.
Yeah, so obviously you need an after-hours club when closing time's at 4 a.m. That's ridiculous.
Well, the basic clientele consisted of people who work in bars and clubs already, who wanted a place to go after work was done and didn't want to, say, sit at home with a can of beer.
All right.
And then lots of, again, guys in these knockoff Armani suits and Armani shirts and their lady friends, and their very sparkly lady friends. No celebrities. We weren't high up on the food chain enough to be a celebrity after hours war.
Not even like David Cross.
David Cross?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, the comedian David Cross?
I never saw the comedian David Cross.
Okay. It just seems like something famous alternative comedian David Cross might have done.
No David Cross, no David Spade, no David Blaine. None of the Davids were there.
David Roth? Was David Roth there?
David Roth was a frequent customer.
Yeah.
It was a little scary because he was only 16 at the time.
If you pitch something to David Roth... and it's good, he goes, oh yeah, mama's gonna be able to buy a lot of cocaine with this. David has problems, man.
Can you get sued for slander on a podcast?
I mean, David's not gonna sue me for slander.
Okay. Point taken.
If I start talking about Roland Lazenby,
he might sue you.
Yeah, he might. Probably okay. I mean, probably not. He probably wouldn't hear it, but
in any case, so that was my job. I would, you know, and the only thing that my two mobbed up friends were concerned about was would I steal and would I use? And I was scared to death of either of those things. And the mob factor scared me even worse. I thought that I'd end up in a dumpster somewhere in Red Hook if I did. So that didn't happen. So I was there. I showed up. But it was a crazy schedule. I'd work, you know, for at least 3 days out of the week. I would be on this stupid person schedule where I'd go to, you know, either performing or rehearsing a show, and that would last till 11 o'clock. And then I would sort of sleep at the theater or at a friend's place nearby and then go to work at 4:30 and then get out, I don't know, 10 a.m., 11 a.m., who knows, and then try to sleep for 4 hours, and then go back to the theater. And it was in the middle of winter too, so I never saw there was whole weeks where I felt like I never saw sunlight. It was a little bit nuts. And I did it for a while, and the money was really good, and my paycheck was just tips and whatever the guy who I work for, let's call him Yorgi, would give me. He'd say here, and sometimes it was, you know, hundreds of dollars, and sometimes it was $50 and whatever.
Was Yorgi a professional baseball player?
No.
Did you see any professional baseball players while you were doing
no,
this?
No, that would have been exciting. If I'd seen a professional baseball player, that would have been super cool.
About what time is this?
This is 1994-95.
Yeah, not a lot of Hall of Famers in New York at the time.
Yeah, Jimmy Key was never there. I can assure you of that. I can assure you that Bobby Bonilla never showed up. No Mets were ever there. No, there was nobody famous there. There were some very rich people, clearly, or very clubby, like people who spent enough on clothes to look rich there, and they dropped a lot of money on drugs and $20 beers, so they had some disposable income. In any case, after about 3 months of this stupid, crazy schedule, I suddenly thought, I can't do this anymore, but I'm scared if I quit, they're going to have me whacked or beaten up or something horrible, because I had a whole series of instructions about what to do if we ever got busted, and they assured me that it wouldn't happen because they paid off the cops that they knew, although we did, you know, a couple times I would show up for work and they'd be like, go home, not tonight.
Stop. They paid off police officers?
That's what they said.
This is 1990. They were still paying off police officers?
They're still paying off police officers now, Corbin.
Oh, sorry. I'm not very cynical, I guess.
You're a white person. You haven't seen The Wire? Come on.
Have you seen The Wire?
It's all of it.
Police officers don't get paid off in The Wire.
Yes, they do.
When? When does a cop get paid off in The Wire?
When does a cop ever get paid off? It's assumed.
When? It is not assumed.
It's implied.
Yeah, because The Wire was a show that was big on implication.
Moving on. In any case, they assured me that they'd dealt with the cops, and so we wouldn't get busted.
Did they?
I had a number to call in case I got arrested and that I wasn't supposed to say anything.
Did they red hook the cops?
What's red hooking the cops?
When you throw them in a dumpster and red hook. Sorry, I already came up with a name with it for it.
Not to my knowledge. I think it's a business relationship. In any case, so I went to him and I said, listen, Yorgi, I'm sorry.
Listen, Yorgi.
Yeah, I did it like that. Very hat in hand, very humble. And I said, I'm sorry, I can't work for you anymore. The schedule is just too much. And he said, okay, thank you. I give to cousin. Goodbye. And that was the end of it.
I give to cousin?
Yeah.
You know what? I'll bet you that cousin did a lot more with the job than you could have.
Very possibly. I'm not sure. There wasn't a lot of growth opportunities within this organization, or if there were, there weren't the kind that I wanted to know. It didn't seem like it was that kind of structure. There was me and sometimes one or two other pretty ladies behind the bar, but they didn't want the pretty ladies behind the bar because they told them that they ended up always doing too many of the drugs with the customers.
Like you do.
Like you do. They wanted 22-year-old me. Just sitting there looking wide-eyed and innocent and confused and slightly scared and exhausted.
You think they ever had a conversation like, yeah, should we give Bob an extra opportunity? And they go, no, he's nuts deep in theater.
You've seen pictures of me at 22. There is no way that I was the target for promotion by the Russian mob, mainly because I'm not Russian. And no. No. I am not built for crime.
It's not inconceivable that you could be like Babyface Silverman.
Actually, I was going by Saeta at that time.
Oh.
Right around then, I was Saeta. Babyface Saeta works even better. There's a famous mobster named Ignacio Saeta, actually. So it works perfectly.
Ignatius?
Ignacio.
Okay.
Not like Ignatius Riley from Confederacy of Dozens. Ignacio.
My listeners can probably hear a phone in the background. I'm just gonna hope it's nobody.
Probably.
Whatever. Wait. Yeah.
But in any case, that was my very, very, very exhausting job.
And that was why you weren't keeping up with the Knicks at the time.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I wasn't keeping up with the Knicks or the Mets, really, or the any very little sports ball at all. And it was right after the Knicks had lost in the finals, so I was like, yeah, all right, that's enough of this.
Well, what time they lost in the finals? The 94 time or the 99 time?
The 94 time.
Okay. When against Elijah won.
I have nothing against Elijah one. Elijah one's great.
Yeah, nothing against Elijah one?
Oshawn's great. I can't hate him for being better than the janky Knicks. Come on.
I think
screw Sam Cassell.
Because of the Nets thing? Is it because of the Nets thing, Bob?
Because Sam Cassell looks like a goddamn alien and hit all those annoying clutch shots. And goddamn it.
I can say it's the Nets thing. It's fine.
I don't like the Nets thing either.
All right. I haven't watching sports. I watched the tennis a little bit. It's on too early. But yeah.
See, tennis is a sport I can watch it and I can respect the difficulty that it requires to do it, and I can even see moments of how awesome it is that they can do it that well, and I understand it all logically, but it doesn't ever hit me on a gut level. I don't care.
Those things when it gets to five sets and it's just like. I like that. That's a speedball right there.
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, again, I get it. I just don't. I find it. I end up feeling cold, and I know. I know many smart people play tennis.
Yeah.
I'm just saying about the soccer also. Again, I can see what Messi does and watch it and see that it's great, and I just don't really care.
I think I would be more into soccer if there were an available option to me. That wasn't the EPL. There's something about being into something English that I'm just, I ain't about.
Can't you root for non-EPL teams? Do you have to have an
EPL? Yeah, but I can't watch a non-EPL team without buying in sport or whatever. I'm cheap. I'm very cheap, Bob. I think at this point, it's pretty much common knowledge that I'm literally the cheapest person in the world.
No, you're not, because that's me.
No. Bob, you live in New York City. You're not the cheapest person in the world.
The reason I can live in New York City is because I am the cheapest person in the world.
You're cheap with a purpose. Like, I'm not cheap with any purpose. Like, I live in Vancouver, Washington. I don't even live in Portland proper. I live with my parents. Look, I know this is a shock to all the listeners, but I am literally a blogger who lives in my parents' basement.
Especially your perspective, lady and or gentleman callers.
Yeah, all the people who are listening to this, like, oh, when is Corbin going to get around to fucking me? Yeah, that's definitely why people are listening to this.
I would like someone who is listening to this podcast to respond affirmatively that they listen to Corbin's podcasts and think, oh, dear sweet Jesus, if only Corbin could be mine, or something to that effect.
Yeah.
Corbin, do you have an email address that they can send?
Yeah, corbin.smith@gmail.com. Any and all marriage or non-marriage proposals.
Right. Any lascivious suggestions, mash notes, dirty limericks, body sonnets, anything anyone wants to send, corbin.smith@gmail.com.
Food? I'll take food. If you can send food over email. Or like, if you send me an email that says, Corbin, I want to send you food, I'll probably respond with my real address.
Okay, there you go.
Please don't send me a bomb.
You can't send a bomb via email either.
No, but I mean, like, if I give you my real address and you're offering to give me food, please don't send me a bomb instead.
That would seem like an incredibly complicated way to send you a bomb.
I guess.
I mean, if I Googled Corbin Smith, and now I know what city you're in, and we all do,
yeah.
You don't think I could find... your address that way? You're on the internets. Your address is out there. I can find it.
I guess.
And now I know I live with your parents. You live with your parents. That narrows it down even further.
Yeah, you don't know my. You don't know their names. I don't think. I hope not.
No. No, I don't.
And I'm not telling you them now because right, I'm on edge.
In any case, just to clarify, do not gain Corbin's address by fake telling him that you either A, want to sex him, or B, want to send him food, just so you can send him a bomb.
Don't catfish bomb me.
Cat bomb you.
Don't cat bomb me. Especially don't send a beautiful, precious cat to my house. I pick it up. I go, oh, what a precious angel. And it turns out he has a bomb in his guts that blows up and kills me.
Coughs up a hairball. It's actually some, you know.
Yeah, a hairball goes.
You really have been watching too many children's shows, haven't you?
Yeah, that's what happens on children's shows. They get blown up with cat bombs.
That sounds like a really good, that sounds like a plausible, like, Pinky and the Brain plot line, if you ask me.
It's a little brutal.
Yeah. I don't know, Ren and Stimpy, maybe? It could be a Ren and Stimpy plot. That's for kids.
Yeah. All right. Are you watching any sports, Bob?
I watched some Summer League. I watched a lot of the Knicks. I'm very unhappy right now because they lost Maurice Endor.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about in our pre-conversation, you said Mo Endor, and I said, who's Mo Endor? Because I didn't watch Summer League.
Mo Endor is a four-year college pro, 6'9", small forward, power forward, but can block shots, has a nice-looking mid-range jumper, athletic, springy, busts his hump on defense. Has the one requirement for anyone who wants to be a defensive-minded forward in the NBA now, who's, you know, a developing underrated prospect, which is you have to have dreadlocks. Okay. I really do believe that every single that if I were in college right now and trying to make it in the NBA, and
that's how you market yourself.
I would just grow dreadlocks so people would think, oh, maybe he'll be the next Damari Carroll. It's necessary.
I mean. White guy with dreadlocks. I don't know if that's
gonna happen. Yeah, no, that'd be pretty lame. But in any case,
that guy's the next Kyle Beckerman.
Who's Kyle Beckerman?
Or Beckman, pardon me. He plays on the United States men's national soccer team. And Real Salt Lake. He is a white gentleman with dreadlocks.
Okay, what does Real stand for? Because it doesn't mean like Real Salt Lake as opposed
to. It means team in Spanish. Real Salt Lake is. What?
Then that's ridiculous.
Oh, no, yeah, it's totally ridiculous. I think just pretty like much FC, everybody in that like, sphere.
Isn't FC New York isn't there? FC New York?
Yeah, that's the thing, the Yankees MLS team.
Yeah, right. FC New York, that stands for football club, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like FC Barcelona.
Uh-huh,
Or FC Bayern Munich or whatever.
It's not called FC Bayern Munich. It's just Bayern Munich.
Fine, whatever.
I think Bayern might mean team.
FC Inter? FC Milan?
FC Milan, that's real.
Okay. Is it? No, it's AC.
Oh, yeah, it is AC Milan.
All right. But in any case,
foot is spelled AOOT in Italian.
Yes. But calling it FC is ridiculous because it's not called New York Football Club. I'm sorry, I don't like that. That's bad. That's bad use. That's a bolderization of language. It's cheap branding, and I won't stand for it.
Also, it's soccer here.
Yes, it should be SC New York.
Oh, man, that'd be good. They should just, exactly, just embrace it.
Yes, unless you want to say, no, we're all calling it football now. And that's fine.
That's not fine. That's ridiculous.
Why don't we accept the international term?
Because we have another football.
You can bet. I bet you Obama wants to do that.
Yeah, and monster.
That's what I mean. So don't call yourself Real Salt Lake or Real Salt Lake. That's ludicrous. Call yourself Team Salt Lake.
That sounds a little corny.
It does sound corny, doesn't it?
That would be like if, you know, I was on Team Classical.
You are on Team Classical.
Yeah, I guess I am.
In any case, Maurice Endor is a bouncy undrafted free agent who played well for the Knicks Summer League team, and he just got yoinked by Mark Cuban, probably chatting him up on Cyberdust and convincing him to do that.
I'm pretty sure Mo Endor doesn't have Cyberdust.
He does now. He's on the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah, that's true. They make you. I wonder if that's in the contracts.
I bet you it is. It's like, hi, you have to sign up for my crappy, awful web like instant messaging service that nobody besides me uses.
You see the Aldridge thing
today?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thoughts.
What are your thoughts?
My thoughts is one, I have no idea if it's true or not, but two, who cares? Look, Aldridge was when faced between a choice between New York and San Antonio, there's no actual choice. He was going to San Antonio, whether or not the Knicks said, we want to pay you $20 million a year to sit at home and eat saltines.
I'm just throwing this out here. Probably would have preferred to play basketball for a living. I over maybe sitting home and playing saltines.
I don't know. I'm looking for that saltine deal myself. But
have you thought about pitching?
If anyone wants to pay me $20 million a year to sit at home and eat saltines, email corbin.smith@gmail.com.
Yes. Also attach a sex proposal.
Yes.
Exactly. Along with the request. I'll forward it to Bob and also make love to you.
In any case, yeah, he didn't want to look. There's no choice there. It's a ridiculous non-story. I don't care whether the Knicks told him to cancel the meeting or he canceled the meeting. It really doesn't matter. And then there's the longer question of is signing a 30-year-old LaMarcus Aldridge, considering he does pretty much the same stuff as Carmelo Anthony, regardless of whether he's playing forward or center, a good idea? My opinion would be no. I don't think it's a very good idea unless you're trading Carmelo Anthony, in which case signing a $20 million a year LaMarcus Aldridge doesn't make a lot of sense either. So that's my thoughts on
that. I will say, I think signing LaMarcus Aldridge under the condition that he only plays center is a pretty good idea.
I think so too, considering how much better he is at center. Yeah. Was it you?
I don't know if saying he's better at center is true.
You got blocked, quoted by Posting and Toasting today.
I did. I don't know if saying he's better at center is true because he doesn't play center. It's just everything we know about him would suggest that he would obviously be as good or better at center, particularly on offense.
We have this same problem here in New York with Carmelo Anthony.
Yes,
which is that he is a power forward at this point. He does an okay job defending the post, and he does an awful job defending wing shooters. I think he allowed 40 shooters defending the 3-point line. They shot 43% against Carmelo Anthony. Because he's not always the most motivated defender to begin with, and even when he is, it takes him a long time to get around picks, and chasing around dudes when he's got to conserve his energy for jab steps in the post is sort of not his bag. So he got lit up trying to you know, keep somewhere in the general vicinity of the Kyle Korvers of the world. He's a power forward. He's also a lot better at offensive power forward.
Yeah, because it's such a crazy mismatch. Like,
yes, everybody knows that Carmelo Anthony is a power forward, except for Carmelo Anthony, who does not want to be a power forward.
I spent a lot of time working on that thing about Aldridge, and for some reason the Carmelo thing never occurred to me.
Oh yeah, we could bond over this. It's very weird, and the only thing I can imagine it to is someone who just turned 65 and doesn't want to take that senior citizen ticket at the movies because they don't want to think of themselves as a senior citizen, or every time an AARP thing comes in the mail, they angrily tear it to pieces.
I wouldn't want the AARP stuff, but I would definitely
take the senior citizen movie ticket
immediately. Wouldn't even think
some
about
people
it.
Might not want some reason. Carmelo's identity is deeply wedded to the idea of playing small forward. And I have a feeling the same is true for LaMarcus Aldridge.
As an artist, do you admire their commitment to the integrity of their own aesthetic?
As a person who doesn't like tacos, I admire it.
Ugh. I can't believe you called a tortilla matzah.
Bendy matzah.
Bendy, ugh. Ugh. Unbelievable.
Is it leavened? Is a tortilla leavened?
No. But maybe matzah is a tortilla, man.
Either way, they're both bad.
Tortillas aren't bad. Was there anything else interesting?
One other thing. All right, if anyone wants to take me to a really good taco place to prove me wrong, I am nothing if not flexible. Like Ram Dass said, hold on tightly, let go lightly. If someone will take me to a good taco place, I'm not asking you even to pay for my tacos, although that would be nice. If you can take me to a taco place in the tri-state New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area, okay?
Connecticut?
It's the tri-state area.
But you think there's good tacos in Connecticut?
I don't know.
Upon talking to you, I'm not confident there's good tacos in New York City.
Good tacos. What's your problem with that? Who knows? I'm sure there's a Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives episode where Guy Fieri is like, yo, these Connecticut tacos are off the hook. And my Guy Fieri imitation is a little subpar.
Yeah. But you don't really lean into it at all.
No. There's some imitations you lean into deep and you really can't pull yourself out of.
I went to college in Olympia, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And there are several diners there. There's one in particular that is, I would say, marginally legendary, the Reef. And Guy Fieri came into town one day.
Nice.
To do a story about the other diner that sucks.
So you're saying Guy Fieri does not even know that his famous show, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, does not, in fact, highlight the best diners, drive-ins, and dives?
Exactly. They went to Darby's. Ugh, Darby's. No one likes Darby's. Everyone goes to the Reef. At the very least, they go to the Voyeur. Drink out of the pipe. I ever tell you about the pipe in Olympia, Bob?
Are you trying to get the pipe?
Yes.
Okay. No, you haven't told me.
There's a pipe in the middle of Olympia that's attached to a well, and it just pours out well water, and people drink out of the pipe. It's great. It's great water.
Okay. Right. That's nice. I like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that could have been a cool segment with Guy Fieri sort of haunched over sweatily, his dude black cargo shorts started to hike down a little, getting a mouthful of pipe water and having it sort of spray all over the place. That's a missed opportunity.
Yeah, that would be an excellent sequence, but instead he went to Darby's. And actually, that's another thing about the Reef, is that the Reef is built over the well. Not that pipe, but there's another pipe that goes into the Reef. Mm-hmm. You can get the good water at the Reef, but you can't get it at Darby's.
Oh. Man, when I was a kid and I was living in Italy, we had the same thing. We would go down to, you'd grab a big green wine jug.
Sorry, when I was a kid and I was living in Italy. All right, continue.
Yes. When I was a kid, we lived in this, we spent most of the summers in this tiny little town called Pietrasanta because it was so cheap. We were saving money. And my father was living with, it's this Italian artist community near Carrara. Of course, that's where Michelangelo got all his marble.
Your father is a visual artist for a living.
Yes. He was hanging around a lot of sculptors. But you go down, you'd walk down the hill, and there was this mountain spring, and it would just, that's where everyone get their water, because you knew not to drink the water. So you'd fill up wine jugs, and you'd walk down with big jugs of water, and then you'd spill half of them on the way back up. It was quite the time. There was one night during Carnival, and they'd have a Carnival every year at the end of August. And it was a big, fun day, and you go out and you get this really, really great nougat candy, which was just like almonds and more nougat that you could ever imagine until it formed a brick of almond and nougats, and it'd be in your teeth for the rest of the year. And you'd go and run around in Carnival buying crappy toys. And at the end of the night, the floats would come by, and all the girls would get up on the floats and throw flowers at you, and you try to catch the flowers and the pretty girls. And then they'd have fireworks. And it was a tiny little Italian town, and so old and tiny that there were still bullet holes in some of the walls from World War II, and a lot of the buildings still had thatched roofs. And one of the fireworks was going, and it was fluttering down, and it wasn't going out, and it landed on the roof of one of the houses that had a thatched roof still. So the thing went right up in flames. And there was no fire department. So all the menfolk ran down to the spring to start a bucket brigade to put it out.
Did it work?
Yeah. It did. I was too scared. I wouldn't let my dad go. I was too scared about the fire, and I wouldn't let him go join the bucket brigade.
No. Why didn't you join the bucket brigade?
Because I was six.
You're a man now. Six-year-old Bob.
I was six.
Six-year-old Roberto.
I was eight.
Did they call you Roberto?
Si. Robertino. Oh, che fai, Robertino? Come stai? And then all the mamas would pinch my cheeks.
That hurt?
Yeah, it did. They pinched hard. This isn't like American cheek pinching. Italian cheek pinching is a whole other animal. Oh, come stai, Robertino? Bene, bene. And then they give you a little candy that was in their pocket for who knows how long.
So Porzingis.
Yeah, I like him. He's tall.
Cool. Good.
He's tall.
Are you glad they got him instead of Okafor yet?
I'm not at that point yet, but I understand the people who are. I think, you know, I like him a lot more. I think Okafor has, I think Porzingis' ceiling, if we're going to talk in terms of ceilings, is higher. I think the chances that he'll bust are much, much greater. And in a risk-reward kind of sense, I'd rather the Knicks roll the dice on getting maybe what might be the best player in the class, although it's going to be Towns, but could be one of the two better players in the class.
I mean, if Towns' floor is Tyson Chandler, then
Towns' floor is he's so much better. He could be a lot better than Tyson Chandler.
Yeah,
Towns' floor is, I think, taller Al Horford.
You know, I've often thought like taller Al Horford would be maybe the best player in the NBA.
He could be really good. Really, really,
if
really.
If Towns is taller Al Horford with like better range, like.
Yeah.
Like, I guess Davis is more like amazing. But
he's not Anthony Davis. And if Anthony Davis becomes what everyone seems to think he's going to become, he's going to destroy people.
But Towns can be a player who does everything Horford does on defense and like is as good as like Tyson Chandler on defense, then like.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to be Tyson Chandler good, which is why I rejected the comparison. I think he's going to be all-around valuable, smart in that Horfordian way. And then a very good offensive player who can pick and pop, who can finish inside, who can do, you know, can run a pick and roll, who can do all kinds of stuff.
But anyway,
I think in the Okafor Porzingis question, I think someone described him. I think it was Ben Gulliver. I forget who wrote this. Whatever sports ball writer I'm mentioning here, I apologize for messing up your name. I think it was Ben Gulliver who said he could be a 7'3 JJ Redick.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. That's a pretty wild player, man.
Yeah.
He drives a little, right?
Yeah, he can handle. He's got a handle. He can handle the ball and drive. And he's 7'3. Or more athletic Rick Smits with better range is another way to look at what he could be if it all works out.
He could be Anthony Randolph.
He could be Anthony Randolph. Anthony Randolph was a better athlete. Anthony Randolph was such God, did I cape for Anthony Randolph for so many years. I spent years insisting that this is the year that Anthony Randolph puts it all together. It did not happen. No matter how well he's playing at the Pan Am Games right now.
Yeah. All right, I was going to mention the Pan Am Games.
Believe me, I'm aware of what Anthony Randolph is doing at the Pan Am Games.
How's he doing? How's he...
I have no idea. I just know he's in them.
Oh, okay.
So I'm very happy about it. How are you feeling about, speaking of LaMarcus Aldridge, about all the Blazers stuff? How's that?
Fine. I've talked about it quite a bit on various podcasts, I don't know. It's good. I was on a podcast.
A guy who's about 4 months out of a divorce. Yeah. It doesn't sound fine. It sounds resigned, and now you're looking on the bright side of things. And
no, I wasn't. I wasn't particularly attached to the idea of Aldridge staying. I spent all year writing about the team, and I was sick and tired of watching him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's pretty boring, and he's getting older. And the best summation I ever heard of it is I was on a podcast, The Rip Citizens, which you should listen to. It's a very good podcast if you're interested in Blazer topics. And the other fellow I was on with, Edwin, there's Alex and Edwin, but Edwin said that he felt like the Blazers were trading in, were instantly going to their crap year instead of being mediocre 1 year and then crappy the next.
I think you're right. I think the Aldridge Anthony parallels are quite similar. I espoused last year letting Anthony go.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah, they're pretty similar.
Or trying to see what you could get in a sign and trade and say, but I said, you know what? Maybe time to cut bait here. Not that Carmelo Anthony isn't great, but there's I wrote this advice last year that it's like watching a guy standing in a mirror wearing some incredibly lovely clothing and yet treating it like it's a straitjacket and feeling like he never looks right. And there's something profoundly unpleasant about watching him, even when he's doing well. And it's hard to put a finger on because he can score basketballs. But this isn't a critique of the ways in which his game might be a critique, but there's just his overall vibe just strikes me as unpleasant.
Like Wes leaving, that was fine. Like Wes makes entirely too much money now, and like,
oh yeah,
especially for a guy coming off an Achilles.
They upped his price, didn't they? After once DeAndre
was weird, right?
And he said it was framed. The Cuban had said, well, you can back out of this if you want. And he and Wes said something nice about loyalty, and no, I gave my word, and it was like a cheap morality play. And yet he walks out of it with more money.
Yeah,
and that makes me think, that sounds like a load of hooey. That sounds like they went into a meeting, and Wes said, I'm going to walk too. And he said, and Mark Cuban said, no, here's more money.
Yeah, no, I'm with it.
I have no proof or sauces that
Wes
could verify
it. I don't know. Wes is kind of a sincere guy, but I don't know. He might have just played that off.
Was he rewarded for staying? I mean, was he said, well, you're such a good guy for staying. Here's more monies.
Yeah, it seems like that.
He seems like a sincere guy too. It's just it just doesn't pass the smell test really.
And then
I'm still pissed about Dallas stealing Mo Endor. God damn it!
I thought they traded.
What?
No, then
what?
I started talking about more basketball.
Do you know why I wanted Mo Endor so badly? Do you know why I wanted Mo Endor
because
so badly?
Because they don't have any good wings.
For one.
Uh huh.
But two, you know how many Frozen Moon of Endor jokes I was gonna make on the Twitter.com.
I mean, you could just get really into the Mavericks.
No.
Well, look, Bob, I tried to help you, and you didn't even listen, so.
That's another taco of an idea if ever there was one there.
What, you getting in? Why not? You get in the Mavericks.
No. No. One, they're not good. If I'm gonna cut bait and jump on a bandwagon, I'm not jumping on a bandwagon just because of my love of Star Wars-based Mo Endor puns.
How about this? How about you keep a Mo Endor column on TweetDeck? I don't know. Do you use TweetDeck? I don't personally, but...
It's too complicated for me. I just use the regular website.
Yeah, I feel like I'm not in control of it when I use it. But
no,
anyway.
I feel like I'm staring at the Matrix screen, and I can't translate everything.
Exactly. So you just pull up a Mo Endor thing, mm-hmm. and whenever there's Mo Endor news, you make the joke.
Yeah, but it won't be heartfelt.
You won't mean it?
I won't mean it.
And it'll be in your Nick's heart?
No, it won't be. It'll be empty.
My only problem with the whole offseason was that I don't think they needed to trade Batum.
And it was a great trade. I thought that was my favorite part of their offseason.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it depends on your opinion about Vonleh, but I don't think there's any particular reason to think Vonleh's good. And I think that Batum was coming off like a really, really bad year. And I think it would have been better policy to let him rebuild his value and then deal him then.
On the final year, expiring year of a contract? I don't know, man.
It's not the last year.
It isn't?
No, it was the second year. He has 2 years left.
He does?
I believe so.
I'm going to look this up on the internet.com.
And Lopez leaving is kind of a bummer, but he's a very good player.
I'm very happy with him.
Exactly the kind of player you would think the Knicks would not sign.
I know, that's why it's so exciting.
Yeah, but he is, he is extraordinarily good. He got boards last year, and he also got he single-handedly improved Aldridge's rebounding by 2 to 3 boards a game.
Dude, Nicholas Batum is a free agent after this year.
He is?
Yeah.
Oh. Is that an option?
No.
Oh.
He signed a 4-year deal with the Blazers. In 2012.
But was that an extension? Maybe you're right. Okay.
He signed a 4-year, $446 million contract in 2012. There's no option year. It's 4 years, period. I remember that because there was this whole Michigas where the Timberwolves were trying to steal
him out of. They matched. Right. Batum, hoops, hype.
Dude, if you're just selling him as a 3-month rental, I think you're
No, that's a bad idea, but.
Noah Vonleh's 19. Nobody knows what Noah Vonleh could be.
Exactly.
You just got him for an expiring contract. That's an outstanding trade.
I didn't. The Blazers did.
No, he's coming to your house.
I don't want Noah Vonleh at my house.
Yes, he is. He's bringing you food.
I don't want it. Please leave. Noah Vonleh, could you please get out of my house? Thank you. What? Kind of hoops hype? You're not working right.
I favor either Basketball Insiders or Sport Trek.
Wow, I'm really throwing hoops hype down.
Doubting my ability to Google something?
No.
A little bit.
What am I, Real GM? Maybe? Real GM. This is the best possible podcast.
Two dudes yelling at each other over what internet to use. Good yeah. stuff.
I feel like I like to use Real GM because it tells you about their European careers.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I like to, you know, I've tried to do research before. Yeah, I can't find it. Okay, I trust you.
Mm-hmm.
I trust you, Bob. I really Thank do. You. This is me hitting my chest. Like, hey, I trust you. Wait, now what are you typing?
Oh, I got a bill from the IRS for unpaid taxes. Oh, yeah. It was bad.
Sorry, man.
It's all right. Now I'm writing my
just,
account.
They just messed up your freelance reporting?
Yeah. It's all right, though. In any case, I think we're at a good spot. We know about Nicholas Batum, and I think we should end it right here.
Okay.
Except that, again, if anyone wants to take me in the tri-state area to go get tacos, corbin.smith@gmail.com. He will pass the information to me.
Wait a minute. I'm the host. I'm supposed to be the one who says, we can stop here.
Okay, can we stop here?
No, well, I have to like, put it in motion at first. I have to, like, make it seem like I have something important to do. And, oh, I'm sorry, Bob, I can't talk anymore. You know what I mean?
All right, so just cut this part out.
Oh, no, I'm not cutting it out. Oh, no, Bob, oh, sorry, I gotta head out. Hey, it's great talking to you, though.
Great talking to you, too, Corbin. Thanks for having me again.
Always a pleasure, man. See that? I was in control. I'm the host. I'm in control.
That's where you say people, you say, Bob, if someone wants to read your work, where should they go?
And I forgot about that. I forgot about that. Bob, if somebody wants to read your work, where should they go?
Well, you can always check me out at the Daily Beast or Vice Sports or The Guardian and other places as well. And you can find me on Twitter at Bob Saietta, BobSaietta.
All right. Phenomenal. I forgot to mention the cheesecake thing. All right. Anyway.
Yeah. There's a video up on the Daily Beast where I ate a great deal of cheesecake.
He doesn't do it very efficiently.
No, I'm a bad pro eater.
I watched Bob's technique immediately, and I was like, Bob, you're not going to get through any of that cheesecake.
No. I made a huge mistake. I was very bad at it, and I got very sick. Because
you didn't even finish the cheesecake.
I ate 1 2/3 cheesecakes.
You ate 1 2/3. Oh, man, I ate 1 2/3 cheesecake. I'm ready to... Ready to
party?
Yeah. That's how I start my party.
In 2 minutes, you eat 1 2/3 cheesecake.
I could absolutely eat 1 2/3.
All right, we'll do that on the next show. Cheesecakes. We'll get you some cheesecake.
Yeah. Anyway, always a pleasure having you, Bob.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Oh God. Oh. Jesus, seemed to have gotten something caught in my throat. Thank you for listening. It's been a pleasure speaking to you today. Once again, you can follow me on Twitter at Corbina Smith, that's CorbinaSmith. Check out my work here, there, everywhere. Maybe got a thing coming out next week. You never know. Maybe I don't. I don't know. Who knows anymore? Who knows? Can I say something? Nobody really knows anything. Anyway, pleasure speaking to you. We'll be back sooner or later. Have a good week.